In the case of an associated disposal, there is a further restriction if rent has been charged by the individual to the business for the use of the asset. In effect, the receipt of rent by the individual will restrict the availability of entrepreneur's relief. Gains eligible for entrepreneur's relief are restricted on a just and reasonable basis. This essentially means that if no rent is charged, full entrepreneur's relief is available. If a full commercial rent is charged, no entrepreneur's relief is available. But if rent is charged at below commercial rates, some entrepreneur's relief is available. However, the rent restriction only applies for periods after the 5th of April 2008. This means that receiving rental income before April 2008 will not impact on the availability of entrepreneur's relief. We will illustrate this by returning to the example of Marcus Hollis and the sale of his shares in TalkTalk Limited. Marcus owned a building which had been used by TalkTalk Limited for the last 7 years, up until its sale in March 2011. Assume Marcus charged rent of £1,000 per month to TalkTalk Limited for the use of the shop. A full commercial rent would have been £2,500 per month. Therefore, the rent charged is 40% of the market rent for the asset. This will change his CGT position as follows. The gain on the sale of the shares is £420,000, and on the shop is £300,000. Only 70% of the gain on the shop will qualify for relief, as it was used by the company for 7 of the 10 years of Marcus's ownership. The gain qualifying for entrepreneur's relief is further restricted because rent has been charged by Marcus to the company for the use of the shop. Marcus charged rent of £1,000 per month. A full commercial rent would have been £2,500 per month. Therefore, Marcus charged 40% of a market rent. This means that 40% of the remaining qualifying gain of £210,000 will be eligible for entrepreneur's relief. However, the shop was used in the business from April 2004 to March 2011, being 7 years. Where rent is charged, we only restrict qualifying gains for periods after the 6th of April 2008, in this case for 3 years out of 7. The reduction in eligible gains is therefore £210,000 multiplied by 40% multiplied by 3 over 7, giving £36,000. The gains qualifying for relief are now £420,000 on the shares and £174,000 on the shop, giving £594,000. This will be taxed at 10%, and the total non-qualifying gain, after deduction of the annual exemption, will be charged at 28%, giving a total liability of £91,852. Finally, in this session, we'll pick up one or two practical points on entrepreneur's relief. First, we will look at shares held by a husband and wife. There is no spousal aggregation for the purposes of the holding of 5% of shares in a trading company by spouses or civil partners. This means, for example, that if a husband holds 4% of a company and his wife owns 2% and both work for the company, neither of them will be entitled to entrepreneur's relief on the disposal of their shares. In this instance, the wife, say, can transfer her 2% holding to her husband. This will be CGT-free, as it is a transfer between spouses. However, the husband would then need to wait 12 months before disposing of his new 6% holding, as otherwise he would not have had shares in a personal company for 1 year. Assume now that a husband and wife are in partnership, and they jointly own an asset, for example a building, which is used in their partnership. The partnership is dissolved and the building is sold. The gains made by husband and wife on the disposal of the building will qualify for entrepreneur's relief. However, assume instead that a husband and wife jointly own a building which is used in the husband's sole trade. The trade ceases and the building is sold. In this case, only the husband's proportion of the gain will qualify for entrepreneur's relief, as he is the only one carrying on a business which uses the asset. The wife's gain will not qualify. In this case, the couple should either consider a transfer of the wife's half of the asset to the husband to obtain relief, or the wife could be made a partner of the business as long as this is more than 12 months before the business ceases and the asset is sold. This way, the wife will get entrepreneur's relief on her share of the gain on the building. Where applicable, both spouses will be entitled to claim the relief separately, and this offers an opportunity to double the £5 million ceiling. Consideration should therefore be given by, say, a sole trader to take his wife into partnership by transferring to her a proportion of the business in return for the wife performing a limited function in the business. Gains on the eventual disposal of the partnership business would then be spread between the spouses, thereby maximizing entrepreneur's relief. In the case of a company, the husband could transfer a 5% or more shareholding to the wife, who would then work part-time for the business. Again, this would have the effect of enabling both spouses to claim the relief on the disposal of the shares. Entrepreneur's relief is available if a business ceases and, within 3 years of cessation, an individual disposes of an asset which was used in the business at the time of cessation. For example, assume a trader, Jack, sells his sole trade business to Jill in December 2010. Jack retains the building from which the trade was run. Jill has her own business premises and did not want to buy Jack's. Jack can claim entrepreneur's relief both on the gain on the sale of the business and on the gain on the sale of the old building, as long as the building is sold before December 2013. In this case, it does not matter what Jack does with the building in the 3 year period. He could let it out to another unconnected business and still receive full entrepreneur's relief. Jack just needed to have been using the building in his business at the date of cessation. Also in this scenario, Jack could let out the building and charge a full commercial rent for the use of the building, and this will not prejudice his entrepreneur's relief. This is because the rent restriction rule only applies to associated disposals, and the sale of assets in the 3 years post-cessation is not an associated disposal. As discussed, if an individual owns a building which is being used in the trade of his personal company, the gain on the disposal of the building can qualify for entrepreneur's relief as an associated disposal. This is providing that the building is sold as part of the taxpayer's withdrawal from the business as a whole. A standalone sale would not be eligible for relief. The receipt of rent from the company will restrict entrepreneur's relief. Commercially, many taxpayers will have taken the decision to charge rents for the use of the asset, as such income is free of PAYE and NIC, and the payment of rent is tax deductible for the company. Where rents have only been charged for a proportion of the period of ownership, gains will need to be split into eligible and non-eligible elements on a just and reasonable basis. Gains are only apportioned based on rents charged after the 5th of April 2008. Therefore, a waiver of rent from the 6th of April 2008 will have the effect of maximizing entitlement to entrepreneur's relief. Turning now to shares acquired from share option schemes. Many employees hold shares in their employer company, often acquired as a result of participating in a share option plan or share incentive scheme. Remember, to claim entrepreneur's relief on a disposal of shares, the employee must have at least 5% of the ordinary shares and voting rights. In most instances, this will not be the case, and a claim for entrepreneur's relief is unlikely. Don't forget the limit placed on a taxpayer's lifetime gains, which will qualify for entrepreneur's relief, so the high rollers of this world will only see a relatively small reduction in their total liability. In addition, with a monetary limit placed on the relief, taxpayers who dispose of their businesses in the future may see a deterioration in the benefit of the relief as inflation bites. We will finish this session with a couple of practice examples. In the first, you're asked to calculate the CGT payable by Georgina on the sale of various assets in 2010-11. The gains before relief are £635,000. Note that the gain on the sale of the vintage car is exempt. From this, we can deduct entrepreneur's relief. Georgina owned more than 5% of the shares of Pampered Pooches Limited and worked for the company, so the gain of £585,000 will qualify for entrepreneur's relief. The disposal took place prior to the 23rd of June 2010, so the relief is given by deducting relief of 4/9 of £585,000, giving £260,000. Georgina made no other disposals in the year, so from the remaining chargeable gain of £375,000, we can deduct an annual exemption. The taxable gain is £364,900. CGT is charged at 18%, as the disposal took place before the 23rd of June 2010, giving tax due of £65,682. Emma's gain on the sale of her shares is £99,000, and on the sale of the building is £270,000. Emma owned more than 5% of the shares and worked for the company, so the gain of £99,000 will qualify for entrepreneur's relief. She also owned the building from which the company traded, so the gain on the office will also qualify, as this is an associated disposal. However, the office had only been used by the company for part of Emma's period of ownership, so some of the gain of £270,000 will not qualify for entrepreneur's relief. Emma owned the office between December 1992 and December 2010, being 18 years. The office had been used by her company between December 1998 and December 2010, i.e. for 12 years. Therefore, only 12/18 of the gain on the associated disposal will qualify for relief. Total gains qualifying for entrepreneur's relief are therefore £279,000 and will be taxed at 10%. The gain not eligible for relief will be reduced by the annual exemption. We then tax the remaining gain at 28% to give total CGT due of £50,272. The gain on the sale of the Alexander Cables Limited shares will qualify for entrepreneur's relief and is therefore taxed at 10%. The gain on the Marks and Spencer shares will be reduced by the annual exemption. However, in order to calculate the tax due on the remaining gain, we need to determine the amount of the unused basic rate band. Danny earned a salary of £20,000 in 2010-11, which we reduced by the personal allowance to arrive at taxable income. The unused basic rate band is therefore £23,875. However, £18,000 of this is used up by the gain eligible for entrepreneur's relief, leaving £5,875 of unused basic rate band. So, the first £5,875 of non-qualifying gains are taxed at 18% and the balance at 28%, giving a total CGT liability of £8,884. That concludes this session on entrepreneur's relief.